Okay, if you all stand, I will read it to you. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 23 begins, "But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, Let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men that lay wait, as he that set a snares, that they set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat, they shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper in the right of the needy, do they not judge? Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof?" You may be seated. Mark, come and bring us the message.
Well, good morning. This message I've given before, but today this is a revised edition, because things have gotten worse. And from Jeremiah 5, the last part of that, in a, I think it's the Pharaoh Fenton, says, "What can be done viler than that?" Speaking of the preachers who preach falsehood. Well, what can be viler than ministers who call themselves Christian, but whom God calls wicked men that spread nets and lay traps to catch men? It sounds like Jeremiah is describing predators for profit. It sounds like a church-sponsored Halloween with spider webs and bats. Or maybe you've seen the banner in front of some banks that say, "Halloween-ones." We one suggesting little children. Aren't these preachers and bankers thoughtful? We'll see just what they are thinking. They don't think too much of Jesus. And Jesus doesn't think too highly about them either. The Lord said, "But whoso shall offend," meaning cause to sin, "one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." That's not the same Jesus that loves everybody and is being taught in most churches today. Halloween has been touted as the scariest day of the year. Christian nation would be well aware of how many times the Bible says, "Fear not." As scary becomes more politically correct fun, more of our people would become less God-fearing. As the opiate of artificial fright is in demand with staged horror performances and hay rides, haunted houses, and other venues where you have to pay to be horrified. God can likewise supply the desires of a wicked heart by unleashing the power of nature. Hurricane Sandy is on the way, and the news is reporting that it's going to be a bad one, causing over $2 billion worth of destruction before it even happens. Now, some party animal may say, why would God allow all this devastation, man? Well, it's because man has brought it upon himself, heaping unto them the superstitions and Jewish fables of monsters and boogeymen. And by the way, has either presidential candidate denounced this delusional madness particular to America today? Both claim to be Christian. Are they afraid it might cost them some votes? As I was driving along the other day, in a mid-October autumn with leaves changing color, I passed a church reader board that said, Pumpkin Party, October 31st. You know, it's with righteous indignation that I bring you today's message. Removing the mask that Halloween itself wears. I'm perturbed that our once great Christian nation has become a Zionist occupational government. And all sorts of Judeo-Christian churches are trying to put on their positive spin on this one day of the year. Lipstick on a pig. Other churches, however, reject and avoid Halloween altogether, and rightly so. Abstain from all appearance of evil. The righteous church seems to be the exception rather than the rule. From a secular standpoint, it's even worse. Well, why should this concern any of us or be any of our business? Well, it's because Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's why we can and should and must say no to Halloween. We can't afford to be lukewarm. God said, come out of her, my people. God does not say, go deeper into the bowels of the beast. You want to hear something really scary? Because we're either blessed or cursed by the pulpits of America. I couldn't believe the depth of temptation and delusion coming from this preacher I heard last week. He said, quote, only parents who listen to too much news and the scare tactics of a few Christian authors see Halloween as the ultimate devil holiday, a day when God is locked in a room waiting to be let out on November 1st. We need to see Halloween through the eyes of our kids, just like pretend, a time to pretend, hang out with friends, and get a ton of candy. That's what Jesus would do. Just like he would have enjoyed the Muppet Show with his 12 disciples, end quote. Now, I'm going to follow up on that last assertion in a moment. But can you believe the mental degeneracy to say Christ would celebrate Halloween? We need hip boots to wade through the present Babylonian quagmire here. Indifference and defiance towards Almighty God is epidemic. All things sacred and holy are blasphemed continually by an ignorant and processed herd of mind-controlled zombies who have been in the brine of deception for so long that they're pickled to satanic perfection. It is virtually impossible to crack the Antichrist nut of Christmas. One would think that that, we have an easier time tearing down the evil altars and idols of Halloween. So we should not underestimate the enemy offensive to integrate this despicable holiday into our already crumbling and shallow culture. Once they integrate the stranger, they can then integrate the strange gods. Halloween is not what it used to be. When I was a youngster growing up in the Leave It to Beaver 1950s, it has become progressively darker and more sinister. 50 years ago, the Ten Commandments were not being removed from government buildings, and sodomy was not a protected lifestyle by law. What happens to our race and culture when we let them get away with such things? The things people said when I was a lad that could never happen in our country are now happening. People are being thrown in jail for handing out Christian literature in public. It's not just for kids anymore. In fact, the adults have taken over. The baby boomers are going through their second childhood. We have a generation that never grew up, and subsequent generations are stunted. The culture wars have greatly impacted our spiritual growth through the years of Jewish-controlled media. These are strange days because we have allowed the stranger's God to become politically correct. We've been conditioned to accept the Baals and alien religions in every corner of society. In ancient Israel, if an African Negro got within a couple blocks of the temple, they would have been killed. Not in our neighborhood. In some parts of the country, inner city black kids are transported by the busloads to white suburban neighborhoods to trick or treat. Conversely, in Billings, Montana, there was a local project called Not in My Town that had people putting six-pointed stars in their windows, sending a message to the increasing rise of right-wing extremism labeled anti-Semitic, Holocaust deniers. Richard Kelly Haskins, in his newsletter 421 titled Clearances, explained how white people have been removed from their indigenous homelands historically over and over again. The average white American has the mindset that it's just unthinkable that we would be targeted for genocide by anybody or be forcibly removed from our homes. And yet, foreclosures are doing just that to millions of our people by legalized carpetbaggers. This is what you can expect when the stranger becomes the head and we become the tail. When Halloween surpasses tabernacles. And just wait. Hanukkah will morph into a month-long holiday with Christmas. Holidays, or holy days, are important for the merchants of the earth. To be the masters of mammon, they have to be the masters of deceit. We are within inches today of reaching a point of no return when white men have lost all concept of hallowed ground and holiness. There's a horror story in the making that would make Halloween an everyday bloodbath. Why hasn't the Jews media reported on the government's purchase of over 1 billion rounds of hollow point ammunition, which is outlawed by the Geneva Convention? and you don't use it for target practice, which is intended for domestic use, not the military overseas. Do you think that when the almighty dollar runs out of credibility and non-white recipients of endless entitlements comes to an end, and their boy Obama loses the election, that there won't be a mixed multitude going crazy, killing, raping, and looting? Or if Obama is reelected, there will be a white anti-communist backlash, finally, seeing South Africa as a precursor. It's just not economic turmoil, but an end-time civil war between good and evil. Halloween is the harvest time of the year, and that's when the tares will be removed at the end of this age. Pray for the harvest. I don't think George Bush was kidding when he said, "You can fool some of the people all of the time, and those are the ones that we must concentrate on." Actually, they fool enough of the people to keep getting reelected, even though they are the furthest thing from being the elect of God. There would be no Halloween or any other pagan celebration in this country if we had Christian leaders who executed God's law. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. No Christian can serve two masters. If you try to mix Halloween with Christianity, you become double-minded or spiritually schizophrenic. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir. So I decided to do some reconnaissance into enemy territory and gather some intel to prove the suspicion, which you probably suspect as well. I've seen these Halloween stores for, 15, 20 years, but I've never gone inside of one. Well, today there are hundreds of these temporary storefronts open for about 2 months in all 50 states. In fact, they are called Halloween USA, but should be called Halloween China. None of the cheap and shoddy merchandise was made in the USA. Everything was imported from red communist China. As soon as I walked into the store, I thought something was burning or that my glasses were smudged and dirty. But soon noticed that they were selling fog machines right next to plastic gravestones and other outdoor novelties to decorate your yard. And sure enough, some people really do haunt their lawns with the image of disembodied spirits and malevolent creatures. I think the Bible calls it spiritism and divination. The majority of the store's floor space was dedicated to costumes, and this was the most disturbing feature because there's not much distinction between the depravity of adult and children's costumes. Now, when I was a child, we'd get an old pillowcase with two eye holes to be Casper the Friendly Ghost, or my sister would dress up in mom's old clothes from the closet. We had Boris Karloff and Lon Chaney for movie monsters of that day, which were tame compared to Freddy Krueger and Michael Myers, who are demonic serial killers today. For $15, you can buy a plastic chainsaw with simulated blood spatter. The number one selling costume last year, 2011, was vampires. What does that tell you about our blood-sucking society? But the number one costume for 2012 is Big Bird of Sesame Street. As a knee-jerk reaction of the Democratic Party Halloweeners to Romney's promise to end federally funded PBS and NPR programming, the yellow 8-foot speciesless bird has become more of an icon than the donkey idol for Democrats. Why any Christian family would allow their children to watch the Muppets, a creation of homosexual Jim Henson, who died of AIDS, is beyond me. I guess it's just the good-natured fun of satanic idolatry. I guess it's just Jim Henson and his company was bought out by the Disney Corporation, which is controlled by Antichrist Jews, and true to form, have injected immoral subliminals into the Muppet movies, as is their stock and trade for all children's fare. And we have preachers, as the one mentioned earlier, who see nothing wrong about the world that Jesus said he was not a part of. Here's some names of some of the other costumes. Seed of Chucky, a demon-possessed doll. Queen of Darkness, Cell Block Psycho, from another Jewish-made horror genre movie titled Halloween, directed by Rob Zombie. There were all kinds of occult themes, over a dozen different kinds of witches, outfits, goth princess, sorceress, and for preteens, witch girl. If your little girl wanted to be a goddess, she could be Athena or Venus. What shocked me even more was the costumes having interracial and promiscuous overtones. Your son or daughter could be a gangbanger, a rapper, or a rapster gangster, a pimp, or a hoe. There were two aisles in which you could be a Mexican or an Oriental. And for a really scary look, you could dress up like Michael Jackson. In full view of children, the entire back wall featured skimpy Playboy brand lingerie-type costumes, at least 50 or 60, with makeshift dressing rooms. For parents who were out to lunch, there were costumes for gender reversal, a violation of God's law, men as ballerinas and women as construction workers. And we wonder, where does this perverted transgender legislation get its start? One aisle was so disgustingly pornographic that I can't see somebody wearing it without being arrested for breaking laws against lewdness or public indecency. Last but not least, in this satanic environment of glorified violence and perversion, you could buy a Jesus costume in the religious section. This is blasphemy! A Jesus costume in the middle of a Beelzebub convention. Jesus Christ exposed the double-minded liars and hypocrites. His adversaries knew who Christ was, and they knew what they were doing, just like Halloween USA knows what it's doing, making merchandise of God. The Pharisees accused the work of the Holy Spirit of being from devils. Christ was saying those who knew better and yet they blaspheme or speak evil of the power of God cannot be forgiven. It is through the Holy Spirit that forgiveness comes. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission or forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, I did not stop my investigation of Halloween USA after my visit there. I was able to find out on the internet that It's owned by Gags and Games Incorporated, which is a subsidiary of AAH Holding Corporation, which is owned and operated by Jews since 1947. They cater to all the pagan holidays, which feed a growing hostility towards Christianity. It has retailers of all kinds promoting a frenzy for costumes, high fructose corn syrup products, otherwise known as candy, indoor and outdoor decorations, and more. Halloween isn't for children. That's just the mask it hides behind. It's for adults who still act like juvenile delinquents. October has become the third largest month in sales volume behind November and December, with many of those purchases driven by Halloween. In 2011, according to the National Retail Federation, Halloween was expected to reach $4.75 billion last year, up from $3 billion in 2004. Now, the following statistic is astoundingly staggering. It's reported that nearly 70% of adults ages 18 through 34 are expected to celebrate Halloween in costume or at a party, spending an average of almost $70 per person. The NRF is reporting that for 2012, Americans will spend nearly $3 billion on Halloween costumes and another $4 billion on party food, booze, candy, decorations, etc. A record 170 million people plan to celebrate Halloween this year, according to the NRF's Consumer Spending Survey. 7 in 10 Americans, 71.5%, will get into the Halloween spirit, up from 68.6% last year, and the most people in their 10-year survey history. I'm kind of scratching my head wondering what happened to the recession and the suggestion of austerity. We got to cinch up our belts. And I'm thinking most Americans are not true Christians because they are either not white or have been brainwashed to play pretend. That is, to fantasize about being something they are not. I have a feeling that the state of mind communist slave is now ripe for the new world order, and we shall know them by their fruits. Because we know a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Have you noticed the big blotch of orange and black in the greeting card section of your supermarket? It's 10 to 15 feet long. Did you know that in the psychology of art, the color orange is associated with schizophrenia? You'll never see prison walls painted orange because it would incite riots. From a pigmentary observation, orange is the byproduct of red and yellow. Red is associated with Esau, Edom, communism, and the devil. Yellow is associated with Orientals, bad journalism, and cowardice. Orange on a color wheel is just the opposite of blue. Blue is associated with the Levitical priesthood and God's law, and also the sky and the heavens. What better symbol then than a big fat orange pumpkin to carve a scary face with a candle inside? in but one generation, this holiday has morphed into a one-month-long event and is carefully crafted to make the transition of going into a new level of paganism, Mystery Babylon. The word insidious comes to mind, which means intending to entrap, harmful but enticing, having a gradual and cumulative effect, developing so gradually as to be well established before becoming apparent. Deuteronomy 12:30 warns us, "Beware that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, 'How do these nations serve their gods, that I may also do likewise?'" Israel was told in Joshua 23:13 that if we race mix, these aliens would, quote, "be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes." What good is there in having a pumpkin party? None. None whatsoever. The custom of Halloween is traced back to the Druid Festival of the Dead, which borrowed from the ancient Baal practices in Babylon. Alexander Hislop, in his classic book, The Two Babylons, says, "The god whom the Druids worshipped was Baal. They offered human sacrifice and made their children pass through the fire to Moloch in sacrifice. Further, the priest of Nimrod, who was Negro, were prepared to eat of the human sacrifices. Thus, Kana Baal." Khan means priest, end quote. A Khan is borrowed from Canaanite or Canaan. And from these we get the word cannibal. And by the way, the Jewish name Cohen also means priest. Very seldom will researchers dare make the connection of pagan rituals to the big Halloween book called the Babylonian Talmud. Both satanic pagans and mongrel Edomite Jews joined in the rebellion of Nimrod, making war upon the faithful white Christians throughout history. It's been admitted by some Jews that Purim is the Jewish Halloween. However, Jews don't need a holiday for their ritual murder and blood obsession through the expanse of centuries. After crucifying the Lord on Calvary, the Jews said, "Let his blood be on us and our children." This celebration of the dead honored the God of the dead. But our God said in Scripture, "God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." The Druids believed that the spirits of the dead demanded concessions by giving them a type of worship or offering. And this is the game that Trick and Treat plays today. Now, the Druid God of the Dead is spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N, which you would think would be pronounced Samhain, but it's pronounced Soheen, and known today as the Grim Reaper, who would be called together all the wicked souls who had died within the past year. Now, there may be some witch out there listening to us on the internet, or maybe reading this message, saying, "This guy doesn't know what he's talking about." But I know exactly what you witches are sowing. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. speaking of reapers, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, shall send forth his reapers or messengers, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. This, of course, from the parable of the wheat and the tares. The Catholics, in their usual style of changing the names of something in order to protect the guilty, tried to replace paganism with All Saints' Day as a substitute, but to no avail. Although the external forms of pagan worship disappeared, the belief in these deities did not, finding expression in the Middle Ages in the open practice of witchcraft, which is presently enjoying a revival in Europe and here in the United States. The mysterious Stonehenge is a place where neo-pagans venerate the ancient sacrifices, where over 900 skeletal remains have been discovered in and around the site. One of the basic tenets of witchcraft is to control the will of another by the use of fear. Halloween was banned in the U.S. until 1845, when the poor, superstitious Irish escaped the potato famine in Ireland and brought the Druid holiday with them. Something once forbidden was now insidiously becoming part of our culture. But God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We are promised that perfect love casteth out fear. What is perfect love? It is keeping and executing the letter and spirit of God's commandments. There are no socially redeeming values to Halloween. All the trappings surrounding it are to honor false gods. You cannot honor the high holy day of the pagan occult without this one thing. The singular feature of Halloween is the witch, symbolic of rebellion towards God, gross immorality, and the depths of sin. And what is God's perfect love for such a person? Exodus 22:18 says, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." If they are allowed to live, then there really isn't much love for those who would be destroyed by them. Much like our society's reluctance to obey God's law concerning the homosexual and their deathly spread of STDs. Even in the military, a practicing witch won permission to take Halloween and 7 other days off as religious holidays. Witches and Satanists have a perfect love for Halloween. They get lots of Jews media coverage around this time of year. It's good PR. TV shows portray them favorably. Remember Bewitched with the cute wiggly nose? Sabrina, the teenage witch, the Addams Family, the Munsters, Buffy the Vampire Killer, Tabitha, and hundreds of other references glorifying rebellion to God Almighty. It generates interest in the craft and is good for recruiting impressionable teeny boppers. Let's face it, witchcraft is coming out of the broom closet. They just want to be accepted as your good Aquarian neighbors. They want their beliefs recognized as a legitimate religion. In the prison system, it is, and I get letters from CI brothers that tell me they are outnumbered by the pagans. And it's basically a program of the protocols, which is most diabolical behind the mask. A holiday with such occult influence is the shocking and shameful evidence that our Beulah land has become bewitched by spirits of darkness. One of the witches' brew now being planned is an interactive Halloween ritual on the internet, and will be teaching Wiccan ceremony, how to make an altar, how to cast spells, and other such abominations. The interest in witchcraft has never been higher, with the first two Harry Potter movies grossing over $2 billion. In the G-rated animated movie Fantasia, there's a nice sorcerer named Yensid, which is Disney spelled backwards. Teen twit Britney Spears appeared on MTV wearing a tank top with the words page 666. And I saw this just the other day, a new Geico commercial with a witch flying around in a broom factory. The nonstop subliminal witchcraft is accelerating because of the spineless, effeminate perverts behind the church pulpits of America, knowing nothing about the enemies of God and how to identify them and how to fight them and how to rid them from our land. I was watching the highly touted Judeo-Christian mouthpiece David Barton on TBN, and he said, Christianity is the greatest religion because we tolerate the freedom of other religions to practice their faith in our country. That's not Christianity. That's Hinduism. Dharma is the practice of tolerance towards other races and religions. This kind of thinking is why we are teetering on the brink of destruction and are in the initial stages of divine judgment. God views witches, wizards, sorcerers, devil worshippers, magicians, astrologers, shamans, mediums, ghostbusters, all of them as evil. The Bible says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Hate those damn witches. Don't fear them. The Antichrist will portray our view as intolerant, akin to racism, or homophobia, or anti-Semitism. And to that element of society, I say, get used to it. We're marching forward. Remember Slick Willie saying, we will not tolerate intolerance. Well, we see through his presidential mask of hypocrisy. It's been said that Bill and Hillary are high-ranking witches in the world of the occult. Do you remember the White House Christmas tree decorated with pagan fertility gods and condoms? Do you remember the huge American flag during her campaign that had upside-down stars? She lost her bid for the election, which can only mean that a higher-ranking, darker witch won. There is overwhelming evidence that the highest echelons of government reek of witchcraft. Nancy Reagan consulted with astrologers for her husband's decision-making. Therefore, Halloween gets a free pass and indeed the nod of demonic approval. I think there's a witch's brew about the Benghazi gate cover-up, and Hillary holds the cards. When you enter the country which the Lord thy God has given you, like America, you shall not learn to imitate the depravities of those heathen. Deuteronomy 18:9. Indeed, early white Christian Americans did not succumb to pagan abominations because they loved their God and their own kind. They clearly understood 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And that's just what I'm doing. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. That's why I haven't gotten into any great detail about pagan practices. Suffice to say, this anecdote about a fourth grade teacher who did a poll of her 9-year-olds on what they would like to do most to celebrate Halloween. 80% of these children expressed the wish to kill somebody. Where do young, fragile minds get such ideas? Do they get it from the Christian identity hate groups? They've probably never even heard of us. The answer is simple. Halloween is inculcated in our youth at a very early age in life, whereby the annual event grants deference to mutilation, blood, guts, and gore. Just look at the increase in tattoos and piercings, mutilating the body that God gave you. It's epidemic. The repulsive becomes fun. Fun for the unsuspecting, gullible, and mischievous, that is. It breaks down the inhibitions and reservations towards cold-blooded murder and malicious violence. We are being programmed to be desensitized to the pain and suffering of our fellow man. I think that's what the Mel Gibson movie, The Passion, was all about. It was a gore fest to entertain witches and sadistic sociopaths who love the idea of whipping and torturing and finally crucifying the Savior of our race. We have a new Department of Homeland Security to wage war on terrorism, and yet we have a national pagan holiday on the calendar which glorifies terror. Incredibly, we still hear professing Christians proclaim, dressing up the kids in costumes, playing trick-or-treat, carving jack-o'-lanterns, displaying ghosts and skeletons doesn't mean anything pagan or occultic to me. With this kind of attitude, they should be able to drink rat poison because they chose not to believe it would lead to a quick demise. Why, then, do they think they can avoid spiritual harm by ignoring God's spiritual warnings? You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. James 4:4-5. I hate the sins of Halloween, and I hate the sinners who rationalize it. The evil architects and promoters of this holiday deliberately make light jest of their own misconduct and God's law at the same time and give others the impression that they're just fun-loving folks. However, when the mask is removed, they are God's enemies, deserving His judgment. This is one night of the year that law enforcement dreads more than any other. Merry pranksters run interference for more serious crimes. When men forget God, God forgets them. We're familiar with Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But rarely do we heed the rest of the verse. which says, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Halloween is a time for predators of children. The dirty little secret as to why Jews have been purged from dozens of nations over the span of centuries is because of kidnapping and child ritual murder. It's what the Jews call the blood libel. However, there's a preponderance of documentation dealing with occult blood sacrifices and Jewish complicity. Have you heard of all the missing white children this month? One little girl was found dead in a garbage dump. The Nancy Grace Show is one continuous program of missing and or murdered children. The word occult comes from the Latin meaning secret, hidden, or esoteric, understood only by a small private group. Esoteric knowledge or practices. Well, the Bible says there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come to light. Ironically, Walmart sells a book called Halloween, Behind the Mask, What Every Christian Parent Should Know. But it's not in the section that sells masks and costumes or bags of Halloween sugar. So, ladies and gentlemen, what are we to do? Have some sort of Christian counterpart to Halloween on October 31st? I don't think so. Forget the parties. Withdraw from the trappings. Treat it as a day of particular evil. The innocuous naivete of October 31st are long gone, but that does not mean we cannot protect our innocent youth from being offended. Turn off your porch light so the little demons don't come knocking on your door. You might want to make a mental note of which neighbors and businesses decorate in the orange and black. This is to identify those who are hooked on the satanic and whether inadvertently or intentionally are aiding and abetting the Antichrist enemies of America. Christ's command is to come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the clean thing. Your home and your church should be hallowed ground for blessings, not a breeding ground for curses. It is your duty to discriminate and to be intolerant. I implore every true Christian to knuckle down in imprecatory and then rise up in a quickening of judgment. Boycott satanic businesses. Know your neighborhood. In Corinth, meat was sold that had been sacrificed to idols. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:23 that everything is permissible. After all, he didn't believe the pagan gods really existed. But some Judeos argue that Christians can dress up in costumes and just have a pumpkin party because we belong to Christ and don't really emulate the traditions of the ancient Celts. But Paul didn't stop on his dissertation of freedom and liberty to do things. He added, not everything is beneficial or edifying. In this light, we need to discern the fruits of Halloween. It most certainly is not love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, etc. What may not hurt us may hurt others. What we do should not become a stumbling block to the weak, the blind, or the vulnerable, such as children, or anybody else that isn't mature enough in Jesus Christ or has not put on the whole armor of God. We are God's battle axe and weapons of war, not the grim reaper's sickle and temptations of the world. With us, God will break in pieces the world of the occult, paganism, and destroy the kingdoms of darkness. Meat is just meat, and a pumpkin is just a pumpkin. The problem is turning something good into something evil and calling something evil good. Let us now fear the Lord our God and nothing else. To hell with Halloween.